Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Indore Glycols Limited Q2 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in a listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sanjesh Jain. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining on Indore Glycols Limited Q2 1H FY23 results conference call. We are joined on this call along with Indore Glycols management, represented by Mr. Roopak Saraswat, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Anand Singhal, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Sanjeev Gurwara, President, Marketing, Mr. S.K. Shukla, Head, Liquor Business, Mr. Ankur Jain, Head, Legal and Company Secretary. I would like to invite Mr. Roopak Saraswat to initiate the proceeding with his opening remark, post which we will have an opportunity to ask question and answer. Over to you, sir.
Yeah. Thank you, and a very good afternoon, Sanjesh. Thank you everybody for joining us for this call. I understand there are a number of calls that you are having to attend today, so thank you for joining the IGL call. Sanjesh, am I audible enough?
Yes, sir, you're audible.
Okay, great. Let me give a quick update on the last quarter and the company performance, and then me and my colleagues can take your questions. I'll jump straight away to quarterly performance for the quarter that we are discussing. Essentially, in nutshell, it has been quite a challenging quarter as far as top line is concerned. I think it has also been somewhat a resilient performance by the company, as you can imagine, given the specific challenging headwinds that we have faced. At a gross turnover level, we've done a turnover of 1,634 crores. As you know, the excise component is quite significant for us, which is down 3.6%. At a net turnover level, it is down 14%, but you would see that the EBITDA is actually nearly flat, which is marginally down by 0.6% at 74 crores. You know, it's what's good for us is that, despite this, the EBITDA margins have improved somewhat at 11%. While I'm repeating what I've said before, but the fact is that we've had a significant headwind or in terms of continued feedstock prices, which have been high. To be honest, they have stayed high longer and higher than what we had imagined and discussed earlier, and we will discuss that in the subsequent slide. As well as the energy costs, which continue to be high. The freight headwinds are softening a little bit. I will talk about that. If we talk about the first half performance, that looks better than that, with a gross turnover of 3,502 crores, up 4.6%. A net turnover of 1,478 crores, up 3.3%. EBITDA of 143 crores, which is up 9.2%, and an EBITDA margin of 9.6%. One of the things to note here is, there is an impact of the EOD business that was transferred to the joint venture in the sense that for one quarter last year, those numbers were part of the comparative numbers last year. We of course have taken the ethylene oxide sales to the joint venture this year. At a high level, if I talk about the business highlights, as I mentioned to you, in terms of the business performance, the revenue is down 14%, but the company has been able to maintain the EBITDA, which is marginally down by 0.6%, but improved the margins to about 11%. For the half, revenue is up 3.3%, EBITDA up 9.2%. At an overall level, excellent growth in Nature Biopharma, though a smaller but a better margin business for us. The ENA, which is extra neutral alcohol, biopolymers and IMFL, have also registered healthy growth as far as top line is concerned. One of the challenges that we continue to face is increased feedstock and energy costs, which continue to impact the business, particularly the global ethanol prices, which I will talk about a little later as well, and the high energy costs that continue to impact product costs. We have taken several actions to mitigate the cost impact. You know, we have been looking at alternate fuels, and we will continue to do that. We have been carrying out changes in our operational philosophies and doing modifications in the plant operations, etc., etc. Also, freight costs have started to soften, and we expect that that trend will continue, considering that we also have significant exports. It's worth mentioning that the joint venture performance also got impacted in the quarter on account of high input costs and the pressure on margins, again, the same that I spoke to you about. And in terms of what we are doing new, you know, the new specialties unit, the first phase investment that we have spoken about earlier, the plant erection is in progress, which is progressing as per plan. We expect that our trials will be conducted for in January, then some more in April, May, and then we'll be putting in place a new portfolio of specialty products. I've been reviewing that with the team, and I can say that the product pipeline is robust. And in fact, the first new product for new specialty is already developed and commercialized. It is being exported to a company in the US. Also, as we have spoken about before, we have been putting capacities for grain-based ethanol plants in Kashipur as well as Gorakhpur. Both those plants have been commissioned. You know, we are cranking up the capacities to take them to 100%, but they have been commissioned, and we expect that going forward, starting this quarter itself, it will help us improve costs as well as sales. You know, costs, because ethanol is an important raw material for us for chemicals as well as liquor, and sales, because some of the ethanol that we produce will be sold for the biofuel business. And the biopharma business has also introduced a portfolio of nutraceutical ingredients, which includes Lanthogreen, Terminova, and Ginger. And in the IMFL space, we have launched Zuma Lemony in UP and Uttarakhand, and I've been hearing that the brand has been starting to get a good pickup from the market. I have mentioned to you about costs. You know, unfortunately, beyond what we had imagined, the coal costs, you know, our energy comes from coal, continues to remain high, and you must be reading that from something like 5,500 per ton, which used to be the cost. And I, as far as I know, the government rates are still around that. But because the rakes have not been allocated and there has been a priority allocation to the power sector, in fact, we have not been able to pick up the allocated coal to us from the government. And we have been buying, like many others, from the private companies, which has been more than double the cost of that coal. So that has been a major. We all know that at some point in time, we should streamline, because this has never been the case. And it's not that the coal prices have been revised upward by the government. The other thing is the increase in ethanol costs, which have been up something like 60% over the last 1.5 years. And that too has remained stronger higher for quite some time, more than what we had anticipated. And we understand the reasons for that. I am not going into too many details right now, because I have discussed that before. But the factors driving ethanol costs, apart from the COVID factors and the, you know, climate transition factors, etc., one of the reasons why it has still remained high, I suppose the Russia-Ukraine war has a major role to play. One is that Ukraine is a major producer of food grains in the world, which has a direct impact, because it all comes from plant-based feedstocks. And the other thing is that as the world, and particularly the Western world, tries to reduce their dependence in terms of energy on Russia, which means that there is greater demand for ethanol blending, because that directly impacts the energy requirements for these countries. So I expect, as far as imported ethanol is concerned, this will continue to remain tight for some more time. Definitely, I would imagine the next 6 months, but let us see how things pan out. Things like steel continue to be expensive. That does not impact our, you know, direct product costs, but definitely capital and other things. Having said that, I think some raw materials are also coming down. Acetic acid is one of our raw materials where the prices have been coming down, which is a good thing, but that's a smaller part of what we consume. The other good news is that I'm sure you've heard it in other calls that the container freights have actually come down quite sharply. So in the last couple of years, they had actually gone up roughly, you know, and I'm referring to the World Container Index, by something like 5 times. Can you imagine the price or the cost having gone up 5 times? So there were various reasons for it. However, you know, there is a major correction happening right now, and already from around 10,000, the freights have come down to well below 4,000. And obviously the port congestions, the disruptions, the container shortages have been easing. So that's been one of the factors. The other factor, of course, is that the expectations are that the global economic conditions will be softer. There is a slowdown expected. And I'm told there's also a shift in consumer buying patterns where people are spending more on services and less on goods like they did in the COVID times. I think that's a bit of a positive for us going forward for the exports. Now, let me just sum up segment-wise highlights for you. So we, as you know, classify our business into three broad segments: bio-based specialties and performance chemicals, portable spirits, and N-Nature Biopharma. So let me talk about the largest segment first, which is bio-based specialties and performance chemicals. Quarter two has been very tough for chemicals, with the revenue being down on a like-to-like basis compared to prior year by 19.8%, EBIT being down by 14.4% compared to prior year. However, if you look at it for the first half, revenue is down by 1.8%, but EBIT is more or less flat, down by about 0.9%. I've mentioned this before. We've been having this pressure on margins due to sharp increase in ethanol and energy costs. And also, we've had lower sales in biofuels and sanitizers. The reason we've had lower fuel, you know, sales in sanitizers, obviously you know, because there's hardly any demand for sanitizers now compared to last 2 years. Biofuels has actually been an internal allocation decision that we have been producing ethanol, but considering that imported ethanol is much more expensive, it made much more sense for us to consume it for captive use. We've seen subdued demand and prices in gases, for example, oxygen. You know, there was obviously a huge demand for oxygen last year, but what has happened is people have also put up more capacities, which has also meant that, you know, prices have been under pressure. We've had significant headwinds as far as glycol ethers are concerned. It is because the butyl and propyl prices globally have come down, and therefore it has impacted our glycol ethers. Though we do not use butyl and propyl in our glycol ethers, but our products compete with them, so that's the issue. But for biopolymers and ENA, we've registered some healthy growth. And as I mentioned, our grain-based ethanol plants have been commissioned, and in-house ethanol will help us improve costs in the specialties and performance chemicals division as well. I already gave you an update on the new specialties unit earlier, so I will not repeat that. Now, jumping to portable spirits, for the quarter, revenue is down by 5%, but the EBIT is up by 2.2% compared to prior years. For the first half, revenue is actually up 13.4%, but EBIT is marginally down by about 0.9%. The sales impact has mainly come in the country liquor segment, and one of the major contributors for us has been a policy change. It is not something that's going to impact us forever, where they've been trying in UP to push the Tetra Pak mainly to prevent, you know, misuse of packaging or for those reasons. So we are also installing Tetra Pak capacities, and we believe that in times to come, we'll catch up with some of the sales loss that has happened there. In the IMFL space, we've seen growth. And as you see, you know, in IMFL, servicing a better product mix has also helped us improve our margins. But nevertheless, margins have been impacted for the same reasons as I discussed earlier, packaging being one more factor. You know, business, we've started business in Delhi, which is picking up steadily. Particularly, traction is seen in the whiskey segment. We also expect rum sales to pick up as we see winter coming up. And we've also launched Zumba Lemony in UP and Uttarakhand. We hope that will do well. Coming to Nature Biopharma, this segment has performed very well for the first half as well as the first quarter, where revenues have been up 19.2%, EBIT up 25% for the quarter, and revenues up 23.5% and EBIT up 26.6% for the first half. A good thing here has been the increase in revenues in nicotine for therapeutic use compared to last year, which has been very good. Thiocolchico side, we've had a difficult market situation. However, we've maintained our market share and leadership position there by increasing customer base in the domestic market. And as I mentioned, there are a few other products, branded products in the branded portfolio, which we've launched there, which include Xanthogreen, Terminova, Gingerin, in the lutein, curcumin, and ginger-based ingredients. So that's a quick snapshot of highlights as far as the business segments are concerned. I'll hand over to our CFO, Mr. Anand Singhal, to give a quick update on the financials.
So in Q2 financial year 23, the revenue from operations is 670 crores vis-a-vis 780 crores in the last year corresponding quarter. The EBITDA in Q2 23 is 74 crores vis-a-vis 75 crores in the corresponding year last year. So basically the EBITDA more or less is same, although the sales has come down. The PBT in the current quarter is 31 crores vis-a-vis 47 crores in the last year corresponding quarter. And PAT, profit after tax, is 24 crores vis-a-vis 37 crores in the last year corresponding quarter. So this is the highlights of the quarterly performance. For the half year, financial year 23, the revenue from operations net of excise is 1,478 crores vis-a-vis 1,431 crores. So it's slightly up. EBITDA is 143 crores vis-a-vis 131 crores. PBT is 66 crores vis-a-vis 306 crores in the last year first half. This includes the profit out of the sale of the EOD business for 240 crores. And the profit after tax is 51 crores vis-a-vis 249 crores. This also includes the profit of EOD business, which we have sold out on 1st July last year. So this is the brief performance highlights, although we have already given our results, which I think you must have seen. And after this, yes, we will certainly like to take the questions.
Yeah, thank you, Anandji. So that's a quick update from our side, and happy to take questions. I've already given an update on the various segments.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Rohit Sinha with Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello. Yeah, am I audible?
Yeah, no, if you are audible,
yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, yeah, so few questions from my side. Firstly, on this specialty chemical business. So obviously, revenue was down, as sir has mentioned, because of slowdown. But going forward, just wanted to understand with the kind of global pressure which we are seeing, what kind of revenue growth we can expect in this business, and also as we are talking about the new capacity to commission, so how is the progress there and when we should be expecting commissioning of that?
Yeah, Rohit, let me try and take that question, and Sanjeev ji, please add if you have anything to add. So first of all, I mentioned that some of these pressures we expect will continue for the near future. At the same time, we are quite convinced that the strategy that we've adopted for growing the chemical business is the right one, but we have obviously encountered completely unanticipated situations at a global level, and you can go ahead and check for yourself that never ever has there been a case where, global ethanol prices have jumped from something like 35 to hovering to well above 60 right now in a period of 1.5 years. We all expected that to come down, but that didn't happen. Similarly is the situation as far as the energy costs are concerned. The second point is that the fact is that as far as the drivers for one, specialty chemicals or performance chemicals are concerned, those continue to remain positive more than the world from an Indian perspective, because our end market segments like paints and coatings, personal care or textile auxiliaries or automobile will continue to see growth. Sometimes they'll be a little lower, sometimes they'll be a little higher. You all know that, the world is right now wondering about or, looking at potentially a recession. So those can be some challenges. It's very difficult for me to specify. The other two positives which you might like to consider is I've already mentioned that we have commissioned our grain-based ethanol plant. So that will help to get our costs down, get our margins up, and get our competitiveness to improve, including helping us register sales in the biofuel segments. And the last one that you asked, which is also the second positive that I was talking about, is that, look, we've also... we are starting to invest in a new specialty chemicals business. As you know, a specialty chemicals business is quite different from a petrochemical business or a five product or a two product business, in the sense that it is a knowledge based business. So we have to build that knowledge, look at those products, work on those chemistries with various customers. But as I said, and this is different from what the joint venture does. We are very clear that this is a non-compete space as far as the joint venture is concerned. But we are quite confident of the pipeline that we have. And over the years, we believe that this new specialty chemicals and performance chemicals portfolio that I talked about will become a significant part as far as driving the chemicals business forward is concerned. And you'll hear more about this in a couple of quarters, because we'll be getting more and more business. As I said, one of the products is already commercialized as well. So that's from me.
Okay. Secondly, as we are still awaiting that government's price hike thing on the country liquor, so any update on that front as of now?
Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So, as far as the price rise in the country liquor is concerned, we are still in talks with the government, and nothing concrete has been finalized from the side of the government as of now. But some news is expected by mid-December, or if not, by mid of January is what the timeline we are looking at.
Okay. And one last question from my side. Looking at the power and fuel cost for this quarter, it has come down from as compared to the last quarter, although YoY is still higher, but it has come down from last quarter. So just wanted to know what things has helped there, because looking at the other chemical companies or even other companies which have reported a number in Q2, their power and fuel costs have more or less increased from even Q1 also. So where this reduction was there, and is it, I mean, we have already signed some agreement with the renewable energy sources or some other things is there?
So there are a couple of things, and one, of course, as you see that in some of the power-intensive areas, our sales itself is subdued. So that obviously gets our power cost down. You saw that for the quarter, even though EBITDA was reasonably flat, but our sales were down by 14%. And including ethylene oxide that we sell to the joint venture. So that is one factor. The second factor, as I had mentioned, we are also trying to look at everything that we can do using alternate fuels, wherever we could buy rice husk or some of the other bio-based materials whenever they were less expensive to us. That is what we are doing. We've also carried out modifications in our plant to run much more efficiently, etc. So that has contributed. At an overall level, as far as the power costs are concerned, those have not by and large changed. Right, Manish? That situation has not changed. You did allude to our investment in renewable, etc. We are working on it. That is not something that we are very close to actually signing a contract. As and when we do it, we will indicate that. But that is not a benefit which has accrued in the last quarter or last half. That is for future.
Okay, sir. Thank you for that. And I'll come back in queue. Thank you.
Thank you, Rohit.
Our next question is from the line of Vaibhav Gupta with Bowhead Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Sir, just wanted to understand how is the realization between ENA and ethanol, and what is the outlook for the next six months?
Sorry, Vaibhav, can I ask you to repeat your question and try and just elaborate what exactly you want me to respond to?
Sir, the realization of ENA and ethanol, and if there is any differential, you can provide a description for that and the outlook for the next six months, given the new ethanol policy is already there.
Realization means you want to know what? You mean contribution?
Yes, sir, that would also do.
Look, as far as the new ethanol policy is concerned for blending, so ENA is different from the policy for blending. ENA is extra neutral alcohol, which gets sold either for beverages, not a ready-made beverage, but it is usually, I think, 99% strength ENA, extra neutral alcohol, or for other applications like pharma and perfumery. Whereas when you're talking about the policy or the blending policy for the government has announced new rates, which are slightly increased, particularly for molasses-based ENA, for blending in petrol. So these are two different issues. We make ethanol for blending. Mainly, it's going to be grain-based now, though there may be some molasses-based. But molasses-based, largely, we will use in captive because we have our own requirement for our IMFL and country liquor segment. Also, considering that a lot of sugar industry themselves are forward integrating into converting their own molasses into ENA, that is not of such a great interest going forward for us. So we will continue to make molasses-based ENA. And as far as realization for ENA is concerned, I think the end prices have not moved up that much. However, what we are looking for this quarter, if that helps me answer your question, is that our costs will certainly come down because we have commissioned our grain-based ethanol plants. And I think those numbers we will be able to bring to you and share in subsequent quarters. Right now, our plants are being commissioned. We know for sure that those costs are lower. Sanjay Ji, would you like to add something?
No, I think Gupta Ji has explained. Just one small, I think, correction. ENA, which is there, is used for potable alcohol, and it's used for blending in various I think alcoholic beverages like whiskey, rum, all this. And it is 96.4%. And while the alcohol which is used for blending in petrol, biofuel, is 99.9%. So I think that is the only correction. And I think from the company's point of view, the value is seen where I think we derive higher values, allocations are made accordingly. And as Rupak has pointed out, that the cost of our alcohol is going to go down as our grain-based alcohol production is increasing.
Okay. And sir, some color on the contribution and margin, how has they been towards the past few quarters, like over the past two, three quarters?
Sorry?
Sir, how have the contribution and margins of the ethanol segment changed over the past couple of quarters?
Yeah, so I kind of responded to that earlier, that look, our costs of ethanol and energy have gone up and therefore the contributions have come up. If you see, I also commented the same as far as the profitability of the country liquor and IMFL businesses are concerned, that, you know, those have affected our contributions in a negative way as far as ENA is concerned. But the overall contribution in IMFL has been better, more because of the improved product mix that we are selling.
Okay.
Okay. And the contributions have been under pressure, but in subsequent quarters, including this quarter, we will see an improvement.
Sure. Thank you, sir. That was pretty good. Thank you.
Our next question is from the line of Rohit Nagraj with Centrum Broking. Please state your question.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So first question is on the JV performance. So on a sequential basis, the JV performance has drastically come down. Any specific reasons, particularly from demand side challenges, or was it purely because of the operational challenges that were faced during Q2? Thank you.
Rohit, thanks for the question. I think the major contributor has been the fact, one of the major contributors has been the fact that ethylene oxide costs because of ethanol and because of energy for them has gone up. And still, a major part of the joint venture sales actually comes from domestic sales, though one of the key areas for the joint venture is actually to position these bio-based products in the international markets. That continues to improve and the margins in exports are better, but still it is not large enough and the major impact has come because of subdued domestic sales, mainly because of cost reasons. But as you also know, there has also been some challenge as far as the markets are concerned, particularly textiles and some of the others, as I understand. Sanjeev, if you have something to add on that.
I think this is mainly, I think, the ethoxylates business, which goes into various industries like textile, agro, oil field, home care, personal care. I think there was a little slowdown in the last previous quarter. Overall, I think this impact was felt globally also and in the domestic market as well. So I think the main reason, especially I think what I understand is the textile market, there was a slowdown in production of various types of fabrics where these surfactants are used. So that is the main reason because of that. But right now what we see is it's encouraging and things are moving, I think, slightly on our trend at the moment, and we hope that it carries on to Q4 as well.
Right, sir. Got it. Sir, second question is, now our Gorakhpur and Kashipur facilities have been commissioned. The specialty chemical capex is also going as per schedule and probably will be commissioned by Q4. What is the plan for next leg of capex? Because in terms of gestation period, I suppose there will be at least 12 to 18 months of gestation period for the next leg of capex. So since FY23 capex is more or less coming to fruition, what are the plans for future FY24-25 capex? Thank you.
I'll take part of it, and the other part I'll request Anandji to comment. One, we've made significant investments in grain-based as well as specialty chemicals. So, you know, this is a significant slug of capex, and I think the major focus of the team is to realize value through these capexes. And however, we are evaluating whether we should invest more in either ethanol capacities, if that makes sense for us, to reduce our cost or also increase our sales in the biofuel space. We have not come to a conclusion there. As and when that will happen, we will let you know. Other than that, you will see some investments, as I talked about, for example, in increasing capacities in the country liquor space as far as Tetra packaging is concerned, and in the IMFL space as we ramp up our sales, that continues to grow. But other than that, I don't see any significant capex immediately coming other than these that I've already spoken about. Anandji?
In addition to what Rupakji has just told, the grain distilleries has been completed, but the project relating to boiler and turbine is still in process. So for both the distilleries, the boiler and turbine is in process and hopefully will be completed by June 23. That is in process. Apart from this, the new specialty chemical unit is also in process. So these will be the capexes which we hope will continue in 23-24. So this is from my side.
Right, sir. Anand sir, just one more clarification. One is that now we have sold the stake in the JV, so we'll be receiving about 66 crores. And I understand that from the Clarion deal, we were also supposed to receive 190 crores. So when are we likely to receive you know, this entire amount of maybe 250 odd crores, and how does our debt look like at the end of FY23 post receiving this amount? Thank you.
Regarding the realization from the JB out of the 191 crores, we have already received 20 crores from them in June, and hopefully will receive another 40 crores by March 23. So in this year, we are hopeful that we will get about 60 crores out of 191 crores. The rest of the amount will come in the next year. That's what is our understanding. Regarding the debt, hopefully after the payment of the regular term loan, our term loan will be around 650 crores. As on March 23, and EPBG will be about $23 million. Okay. Working capital, yes, there is a working capital which will be hopefully will be utilized at 75%. So this will be the debt as on 31st March 23.
Right, sir. Just one clarification. Will this include the money received from the JV stake sale, 66 crores?
JV means KIFTPL.
Right, sir.
KIFTPL has been considered into this.
Okay. Thank you so much and best of luck, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Sanjesh Jain with ICICI Securities. Please state your question.
Thanks, sir. Thanks for taking my question. Few from my side. First, on the grain-based ethanol and the strategy to use that. How do you want to use this ethanol? How much of it will go into as ethanol for blending? I understand it's 75%. And what is the remaining 25% we plan with? Do we plan to sell it, or do we plan to use it internally to reduce the cost, as you said in your opening statement? And will this be constant, or when the prices are more stable globally, you would want to sell the 100% of grain-based ethanol, and for the other consumption, you want to import? How should one look at the utilization of this ethanol from internal and external perspective?
Sanjay, you've actually given the answer in your question. in the sense that you understand this quite well, except that I would like to mention that you have assumed that 75% of it will necessarily go to biofuels. It is a condition provided we are availing the subvention benefit. If we don't, then it is not necessarily a condition. Anandji, am I right?
Correct, correct, sir.
So, you know, that is a position we will take based on what our best possible allocation is. And this, in this very volatile scenario, honestly, I have myself come here and spoken to you saying we expect imported ethanol prices eventually to come down, and that has not happened. And I mentioned to you the reasons why that has not happened. And so we continue to look at our scenarios. As I said, you know, we are in some ways in a better position because we have what I call the 3x3 matrix. We have three potential sources of ethanol: imported ethanol, molasses-based ethanol, grain-based ethanol, and three potential uses of ethanol, which is either we use it in captive for our beverages segment, which is country liquor or IMFS, or we use it as an intermediate for our chemicals, or we sell into biofuels. So that is so dynamic, but we are on a quarterly basis reviewing this scenario and seeing how best we can maximize our profitability.
Just one follow-up on that. This subvention is an annual process, or we have to avail it now, and that benefit will be available for the years prescribed? How does that work?
Sir, for our Gorakhpur project, we have already opted out from the subvention scheme.
Okay.
Regarding the Kashipur, although we have not opted out till now, but in future we have to be out from the subvention scheme because we don't want to commit the supply of 75% alcohol for ethanol blending.
Right now, how much of our total quantity requirement do we import or buy from outside? And assuming that we don't sell any of this as a biofuel, will we be self-sufficient on entire requirement of the ethanol?
Yeah, just one second, Sanjay.
Yeah, sure.
I think in short, by and large, we will be, but we might have to procure something.
So, the annual requirement for our captive consumption for our chemical division and for our potable division would be around 80 million bulk liter.
So, with this entire grain base, assuming we use internally, we are completely decoupled from the external volatility of the ethanol. Will that be a fair assumption?
If we are going out of the subvention, then most likely accept the tender which we have already accepted, we could use the whole of the quantity for our captive one.
One related question. In a longer term, our view earlier was that it is better off to sell as a biofuel initially when we started hosting this call, and imported was what we were looking. Has that equation materially changed, and do you think it has changed for the long term for us to make such a big difference in our allocation of ethanol in last 2 years?
Sanjay, honestly, we've been doing this call since August last year, and
sure,
I don't think I ever expressed the view that we have shown that imported ethanol is going to be the feedstock for our chemicals for sure, because it was a couple of years ago completely, because that was cheaper. However, we will, as I said, we will continue to look at it. If, for example, imported were to come back to prices which were 1.5 years ago, the obvious strategy for us would be to maximize uses either in beverages or biofuel and, you know, get imported ethanol for captive consumption. Does that answer your question?
Not that answer. That means every year we will have to make a decision telling how are we using this grain-based ethanol. Is that a fair assumption?
Yeah, I wish it was as easy as every year. We are looking at it every month.
Okay. Fair enough, sir. My second question is on this specialized product which we have commercialized. Can you elaborate what is the product, what are the application? I know we did disclose a lot about it in the previous call about various products, I'm more interested on the product which we have commercialized.
Okay. So it is a specialty ester Okay, I can only tell you that much. And it finds application in oil fields. It is being sold to a major company which supplies ingredients to oil field majors like Slum, Aramco, etc. And so that's the product, and it is in the oil field space. And we'll probably be introducing a few more products in this portfolio as well. So it's just a start. You know, one of the reasons why we've not kind of tom-tommed about it is, you know, let the portfolio develop. Sometimes these are things where you walk two steps forward, then you take one step backward, then you walk three steps forward. That's how the specialty chemicals business is. But we are sure we want to build a knowledge-based business. And I'm happy that even before the plant is up and running, we've been somehow able to use existing assets to start something going at least. So that's been encouraging from that point of view.
Great, great. Can you elaborate on the R&D effort parallelly for us to understand how serious are we on the specialty? How many products are in the development pipeline? How are we looking at R&D itself from, say, 3 to 5 year perspective?
Sanjay, I'm pretty serious about having my job, so we are pretty serious about...
No, I completely, I don't disagree on that, but I just wanted to understand how deeper are we into what are we investing.
Yes. So, you know, maybe we could have a more detailed discussion sometime. So we've done several things to give you some assurance that... So we don't want to go big bang and just create a global R&D center. I think the thing is to identify where we want to build based on our strengths. So what we've done is, we first of all, you know, what was our specialties kind of R&D center was made a part of the joint venture, so that was separated. We've now created, using some existing building, etc., a new R&D center for IGL. You know, you're happy to visit and see that in a couple of months' time, that will be ready. We've also recruited more people, you know, 7 or 8 people definitely. And we are working on several areas, one of them being oil fields. I spoke about some of the others that we are evaluating, right, from amines to plasticizers to polyols. So we have, you know, how else can I tell you? We are very serious about it because we believe that we have to make that kind of, either you can call a portfolio addition or a portfolio shift to make sure that despite some of the strengths in bio-based materials, etc., we create an overall portfolio which is much more resilient.
Fair enough, sir. Fair enough. I think there are many people still waiting in the queue. I will come back in the queue. Thank you and best of luck for the coming quarters.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Mr. Balasubramaniam with Arihant Capital. Please state your question.
Good evening, sir. Thank you so much for taking my question. My first question, is there any pricing pressure on butyl and propyl prices in the glycol ether space?
No.
Just to clarify, Bala, is this you're asking that the prices of butyl and propyl have they come down, reduced, or is it competitive for us? What is the question?
Okay, sir. And like, what kind of realizations for bio-based MEG and like in international markets, it is witnessing attraction. So if you could some more light on that.
Can you just repeat your second question?
Sir, what kind of realizations for bio-based MEG and are international markets witnessing traction for these products?
Yes. You know, I can respond to that. Look, let me give you the, you know, difficult side of the news first. The difficult side of the news is that as far as crude-based MEG prices in the market are concerned compared to our bio-based MEG prices, the difference has increased from something like 2x to 3x, which means that we are, that the differential has increased, which puts pressure on us. But the good thing, which is an encouraging thing for us, is that despite this significant increase as far as the differential price of bio-based MEG and crude-based MEG is concerned, we have continued to grow our customers in the bio-based space. To give you, you know, 5 years ago, roughly 5 years ago, 95% of our business used to come from one customer. And that particular customer shifted completely to recycled PET for whatever reason. Having said that, we now have something like 15 different customers in various parts of the world, which includes Japan, Taiwan, Korea. And, you know, I was looking at the numbers. Even though our volumes have come down quite significantly, our overall contribution for bio-based MEG is still of the order of 75-80% of what it used to be, you know, 5 years ago. So volumes have come down something like 60%, but our contribution has come down something like 20%. Because despite the major 95% consumer or buyer from us having shifted away completely. So that kind of is the situation. I believe bio-based MEG, we are very encouraged to see this kind of traction. Our new customer pipeline is robust. We do have some headwinds. We need to continue to work with them. I think when we are working in a portfolio like this, sometimes, as I mentioned earlier, I would like to believe it's not a 2020 match, it's a test match. You need to make sure our positioning is correct. Sometimes these prices will go up, sometimes these prices will come down. But I think we are in the right space. We are probably going to find it very difficult to suddenly start to replace crude-based MEG in polyester, but that's not the game we are in. But we continue to see decent traction by a number of customers, even though they are smaller, niche customers, for bio-based MEG.
Okay, sir, got it. Sir, like in last call, you have mentioned packaging cost went up by 60-70%. Right now it is softening or cooling off, or we are facing the same kind of cost right now?
So, Bala, just to give you a perspective, right, in terms of like the glass prices, right? So the basic ingredient for glass is soda ash, which has gone up by 30%. And the suppliers from whom we source glass, the fuel that is used for their furnaces, the natural gas, it has also shot up by in the range of around 40-45%. So yes, the packaging cost for the IMFL business continues to pose a challenge for us. And yes, while we are facing this pressure, we are also like in the process of finding another couple of vendors who can help us in reducing the cost. We are in talks with them, so that's the detail I have with me right now.
Thank you so much, sir. That's it from my side.
Our next question is from the line of Rohit Sinha with Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yes, sir. Just a follow-up question on this grain-based capacity. So how much was the utilization level for this quarter, and basically what kind of cost saving was there, if we can quantify?
Rohit, we could get back to you with the numbers. I don't have them ready because we've been going through the commissioning process. What I know is that utilization will soon in the next quarter be closer to 100%. And the prices have been varying. We have been, you know, having to run our plants to get our efficiencies up, etc. But I don't have exact numbers to share right now.
Okay, okay. So next quarter, probably we'll be operating at almost 100%, right?
Yes.
Okay. That's it from my side, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. This is the last question for the day. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Rupak Saraswat for closing comments. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Sanjesh, and I just would like to thank everybody for patiently listening to us, you know, and we try to respond to the questions. Hope we've been able to respond to them to the satisfaction. Nothing else from my side, from me and my colleagues. Have a good evening, and that's all. And we'll see you in the next quarter. Thank you.
On behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.
Thank you, Sanjay. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.